May I speak in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. I'd like to begin by referencing that well-known theological text, the Brownie Guide Handbook, circa 1978. I was in the Leprechauns, if you're interested. On one of the pages in the handbook, there were two pen and ink illustrations of how to clean silverware, a right way and a wrong way. In the wrong way picture, the brownie had cleaned the silver bowl, but somehow all the dirt had ended up on her. Clean bowl, filthy brownie, not good. The right way picture, on the other hand, showed the brownie and the bowl both gleaming. Keep those two pictures in your mind as we take a look at what Paul has to say in his letter to the Romans. In Romans, Paul's implied question is this: what is the evil in the world doing to you? Statistics suggest that 96% of UK adults consume news daily, spending an average of 61 minutes per day doing so. That's a chunk of time. A chunk of our lives. We clearly feel we need to know what's happening in the world, but increasingly the news can leave us anxious, exhausted, or cynical. In fact, some recent research suggested that nearly half of us, sometimes or often, get to a pitch with it all where we feel the need to avoid the news completely for our own well-being. We seem to have this strange push-pull relationship with it. So if we accept that many of us are carrying a level of anxiety about the things we hear and see reported, what effect is it having on us as people and as Christians? Is it making us frightened or angry or suspicious? Are we becoming desensitised or desperate to identify someone to blame? Fear can become anger. Anger can become hatred, and hatred can so easily turn into dehumanising others. This is where Paul's words can speak to us very directly today in an age of frightening news about the importance of the formation of our hearts. And he sums it up in these words: do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Let's establish what Paul isn't saying here. He's not saying evil isn't real. He's not saying we shouldn't resist injustice or protect people from harm. The heart of his message is don't allow the evil around us to determine the people you become. Don't let it change you for the worse. And he gives us concrete examples of how we should respond. If someone persecutes us, we should bless them. We shouldn't take revenge. If our enemy is hungry, we should feed him. If he's thirsty, we should give him something to drink. Do not, he says, repay anyone evil for evil. In May 2017, Ariana Grande was giving a concert at the Manchester Arena. The arena was full of mainly very young people out to enjoy the music and just have a good time. And then, just as they were leaving, a terrorist called Salman Abedi detonated a bomb in the foyer. 22 people were killed, among them 29-year-old Martin Hett. Despite her loss, his mother, Fegan Murray, has spoken about choosing forgiveness, while also campaigning for changes to improve public safety through Martin's Law. Her response is an excellent example of what Paul is talking about. Her forgiveness didn't mean pretending the evil wasn't evil, and she didn't sit back and do nothing about it. She responded by trying to make something better. She said, "Forgiveness has given me inner peace because it helped me stay within my own humanity." In other words, she refused to allow what happened to her to hijack the person she became. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil by good. All of this links up with our gospel passage today. We witness Peter in his perfectly understandable humanity, wanting Jesus to avoid suffering. As we tend to do, he sees evil coming and just wants to stop it. But Jesus shows him that the kingdom of God doesn't work by simply defeating enemies on their own terms. Jesus says, "Take up your cross and follow me." Because extraordinary as it must have seemed to Peter, and maybe to us too, the cross is God's answer to human violence and hatred. On the cross, Jesus doesn't defeat violence by becoming more violent. He absorbs it and answers it with self-giving love. God doesn't allow human hatred to have the last word. This means that Paul's words in Romans aren't just good advice about being a nicer person. Rather, they're laying out the pattern of life that rightly belongs to people who follow the crucified Christ. So, when we watch the news and we see whatever terrible thing has happened now, how can we best respond? We can't control what governments do. We can't personally end wars. Situations can be incredibly complex. Sometimes evil must be resisted and vulnerable people must be defended. But what we can control is what happens inside us. We can ask God not to let fear and hatred take root in us. We can resist the temptation to regard whole populations or people groups as our enemies, or to assume that everyone on the other side is evil. As disciples of Jesus who chose the cross, our calling isn't to be naive, and it's the opposite of weakness. It is to remain alert to the danger of dehumanizing anyone and to reflect the mercy of God, trusting in his justice. Most of us, thankfully, will never face the kind of evil which confronted Fegan Murray on the loss of her son. But in our lives, we will unavoidably encounter many permutations of the same choice that she had to make. That might be on a macro level, as we witness our world. Or it might be closer to home when someone hurts us, excludes us, or treats us badly. The question Paul puts before us is rather like those two brownies and that silver bowl. What is the evil around us doing to us? Is it leaving its mark on us? Or by the grace of God, can we confront what is dirty and destructive without allowing it to make us dirty and destructive too? So this morning, let's pray for courage in a frightened world, never pretending that evil isn't real, but refusing to let evil reproduce itself in us. And instead, may we overcome evil with good. Amen.